And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Joseph J. Gray Guy, Eric Reinhardt, and Trisha, you're on line one, correct?
I am.
Oh, good, because we got a really good show. Or segment, I should say. Yeah, the show was great.
Well, yeah. By the way, that
the song.
That was Golden Gunslinger.
No,
Golden
the man with the golden gun.
Oh, the man with the golden gun.
Man with the golden thumb. I remember that one.
I don't remember that.
Gun.
Oh, gun.
Gun.
You're thinking of Goldfinger.
Yeah.
That's where I got mixed up. Sorry. That was the last one was Goldfinger.
There's the man with the green thumb. He lives at Home
but
Depot.
But that is different. But this is part of our destination segment. And, of course, destination refers to, you know, physical places. We review shows at Las Vegas, Kentucky Derby, things out here in Phoenix. But part of the destination as well is looking at destination like certain industries, like, for example, healthcare. And that is very near and dear on the minds of both parties, Republican, Democrats. It's on the minds of course, the individual people, the people who've never had health insurance. And, of course, very, very important. I'm really happy to have the Arizona Market President for Aetna, Tom Grote, on the air. Tom, how are you?
I'm doing just great. Thanks for having me on.
You're more than welcome. We really appreciate it. I'm Dave Isaac. We got Trisha on the line, who's actually a nurse, and I'm not sure how that might apply, but we'll see how the conversation goes. But first of all, we wanted to talk about the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. And I believe it's open enrollment right now. You want to talk a little bit what the Affordable Care Act is and how what does open enrollment mean and how important is it?
The Affordable Care Act was signed back in 2010. It's really the most sweeping legislation that's happened in healthcare since Medicare in the 1960s. And it was geared to try to extend affordable health care to more individuals across the country, because there's been an issue with a large number of the population being uninsured. So the act has had, you know, positive impact in that regard. Just recently they announced that the uninsured rate at the lowest level it's been in 50 years this year. So it has had an impact to extend more coverage to more individuals. And the open enrollment period is underway right now. It started November 1st, and it runs through December 15th for this year. And at this point, people can, anyone can go enroll on the exchange and get coverage without providing any kind of medical information at all, which is one of the key provisions of the law.
Now, Tom, let me ask you this. When you said the you know, it's the lowest uninsured rate ever. What does that mean economically to the country? Because I know there's controversies there, but my guess is it, you know, a lot of people that were uninsured still went to hospitals, and somehow the taxpayers pay for it anyway. So you want to discuss that a little bit? When it's that low of uninsured, everyone's on health insurance.
Yeah, there's definitely a benefit to decreasing the uninsured rate, because previously uninsured people would still access care at the hospitals, usually through the emergency room, and obviously the health systems were incurring costs associated with that and taking losses for that. And in order to cover their overall costs, what had to happen is they had to shift costs to employers and charge them more for their services so that they had enough revenue to cover their costs. And in doing so, that obviously increases the premium that the employers pay and increases their costs associated with providing coverage for their employees, which once again drives up, you know, their overall overhead and, you know, increases prices and makes, you know, many of our businesses less competitive than they could be otherwise. So I think that as we move forward and gain more coverage, we can move some of that cost shifting back away from the employers and make the economy stronger that way.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Trisha.
Well, I was going to say, and the thing that you just mentioned that sometimes goes unnoticed is if you are uninsured, you don't get preventative care. So you do end up waiting till you're very sick and have to go get care at the emergency room, because if you don't have insurance, that's the only place you can be assured that you will get care. If you show up at an emergency room in the United States, they have to take you in and give you care until you're stable enough to be discharged. But you can't just walk into a regular doctor's office and request care. So that's also part of what drove up the cost of uninsured people, is because they can't get just that preventative care where a copay may be, you know, $20, or it may even be completely covered. But if you go to the emergency room, even for somebody who's insured, that usually has a higher copay. It's got a lot more higher overhead and expense for the hospital as well. So by allowing access to that preventative care or that non-emergent care, I think that's a big cost savings too, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, you know, one of the things that's built into all the plans that are on the exchange is 100% coverage for preventive care. To align with the discussion you just had about trying to keep people healthy for the long term.
And Tom, we'll get into the plans in just a little bit, but I do want to cover some of the basics. And so the concept makes sense to me, is the more people covered, then it's possible to start lowering premiums, so the individual and the employers benefit. I think there's certain states premiums have gone up, and certain states, I think, premiums have gone down. Now, you mentioned the term exchanges. Not all states had their exchanges, so the federal government had to come in. Do you think it's better for every state to have their own exchange, which could generate more competition, which could generate lower premiums?
Everybody has a vehicle to offer the exchange-based policies, whether it's a state-run exchange or a federal exchange. And I don't really think that that has been a necessary determinant on the competitiveness of the marketplace. Arizona is one where it is a federally facilitated exchange, and it's a very competitive market with relatively low rates compared to some other areas. So I don't think that's necessarily determinant on how competitive or low the premium rates are in a given market. It's more about how many players are in the market. So the states where there's only one or two players in the market, I think there's less competition there, and the rates are tend to be higher in those situations. But where there's plenty of competition, you do see competitive rates. And I would say that overall, costs have gone up through the ACA programs because some of the benefits are richer than what people were buying before. But overall, the premiums are less than the government had anticipated in their projections, and that's really been driven by competition. And so as long as there's active competition, the platform in itself really is not a big determinant. And I think that some of the states did their own. I previously just moved here from the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area, and Maryland had built their own exchange, and they spent over $100 million on it, and it failed, and they had to, start from scratch again. So, you know, I think there's some inefficiency sometimes if it's not well run.
How does an exchange fail? And at first, why don't you describe what an exchange is, whether it's federal or state, and then describe how would that fail, an exchange like that?
The exchange is the vehicle for which people can enroll for coverage, and so it provides an online tool where members can go on, look at their options, pick out which plans they want to enroll in, and enroll in those plans. So it's just a web-based tool for enrollment. The Maryland program failed because they had a lot of underlying administrative issues with that enrollment vehicle, and people had trouble getting in for a good portion of the open enrollment period. They had trouble getting people enrolled and enrolled in the proper plans. So it was more of an administrative issue on how the exchange was not successful.
And some states, I believe Kentucky, very successful, I believe. Ohio, I think, too. And yeah, so there's no doubt that there's some really good things. Certainly benefits the consumer with waiving, you know, the pre-existing conditions. And maybe we should talk a little bit about that. What type of plans there are and what are the benefits to the consumer that they may not know? And they should be definitely, you know, you got to get enrolled sometime, and this is the time to do it.
Sure. So the types of plans that are offered on the exchange are aligned by metal levels. So bronze is the cheapest plan, a silver plan, gold plan, and platinum plans. And platinum plans being the richest plan. So it goes from, you know, the bronze to platinum, and the members' cost associated with care starts off at the highest level of bronze, and there's the most coverage at the platinum level. But the costs the premium costs are higher for those types of plans. Some of the benefits that are built into these plans that were built into the law was that there are no annual dollar limits or lifetime limits in the plans, which was a standard previous provision for individual type plans. There are no premium, or there's no pre-existing conditions. There's no difference in cost based on your gender. There used to be different rates based on whether it was a male or a female. So those have been eliminated. There are certain standard essential benefits that are covered under the plan, so you know you have a comprehensive level of coverage. And then preventive care is covered without any cost sharing. So that is one of the most significant benefits offered, that the preventive care is covered at 100%. And one of the other provisions are that you can keep your children on the plan until they're age 26, which I think is, you know, a significant enhancement for coverage. We've done something unique in this market. We're offering a gold diabetes plan. So we're offering a plan that's geared to help provide more extensive coverage for people with diabetes, which is a very unique approach. But what we've done is provide low copays for specialists that treat diabetic conditions and cover their diabetic supplies at 100%, so that once again, we make sure that they are getting the appropriate care associated with their plan. So this is a new plan offering that we're bringing forth to the market in 16. So it's definitely a unique approach.
That is excellent. I mean, it's all about the benefit to the consumer, and that was certainly I think, part of the spirit of the Affordable Care Act. Now, the government, does it give the insurance companies guidelines, but with flexibility? And it sounds like that because you came up with the gold diabetes plan with the lower copay. So is that how it is? Certain guidelines you meet, but you do have flexibility to offer different plans?
Yeah, you do have to align with the standards set forth by the metal levels. So your bronze plans have to cover a certain amount of the expected cost of the plan. So we are all grouped together from that perspective, so that it's easier for a potential member to evaluate plans versus one another, so you know that they're relatively similar in overall cost. But you do have flexibility to make adjustments in your plan design, like we did with the diabetes plan.
Does this put more pressure on insurance companies to operate at maximum efficiency? I know every business wants to do that. You know, every industry has its issues with efficiency. But do you find it has incentive, you know, some type of incentive because of the Affordable Care Act to make sure that you can beat the competition by being more efficient, keeping your own costs down?
That's definitely the case. And in this type of product, the premium cost is very, very important. So it's really imperative that you be as efficient as possible in your administrative costs. and then the way you operate the plan, and that you align with the right providers that can help you deliver the most, you know, effective and efficient care in the market. And, you know, in this market, we align with the Banner Health Network, who's really committed to delivering quality, value-based care and trying to bring down the overall cost associated with it. So a lot of carriers like ourselves are looking to align with health systems closely to work together so that we can deliver a lower cost premium to the members of the community.
Now, Tom, you know, as any new program from the government comes online, you know, there's certain things to tweak and fix and so on. Of course, politically, you hear a certain party, the Republicans wanting to repeal the Affordable Care Act, put something else in. How does that, as an insurance company with Aetna, how do you react to that? Because it's the uncertainty. Does that create problems for Aetna as well as other insurance companies?
I think the way we address that is we try to stay very actively involved in the dialogue with both legislators and CMS on the program administration, finding ways to improve it as we go forward. We are constantly talking about options. And, the program, as I said at the beginning, has been able to extend coverage to more people, so there has been some benefits, but there's always enhancements and improvements that can be made in the process. And I think there's a recent article that a lot of the health plans are struggling, you know, financially offering these plans. And so, you know, we just need to continue to work with the government to determine the best approach to get the most affordable plans to the market.
Now, you said some of the plans are struggling. Why is that? Because you're offering health care to a large portion of the population that never had health care, and you got to obviously maintain your cost structure and profitability margins. Is that the case here? Is that it's so new that it's been difficult to maintain your profitability?
Yeah, it's new. The population's constantly changing, and you know there's some underlying provisions in the law that on risk adjustments and so forth that we're all still learning and trying to understand and trying to project. And it's difficult as the population continues to evolve and change to make sure everybody's setting the premiums at the appropriate level.
Yeah,
and I think with time, you know, experience will make that a little easier to project. But the population is very difficult, and you know, right now as we go into 16, there's a lot of questions about the number of new people going to be entering into the system. Hopefully, there will be a number coming on, but there's projections previously that it was going to be 6 million people, and now they're talking about a very small incremental increase in participation for 16.
Really? So they were off their target, so it's going to be smaller than 6 million, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Additional people.
Exactly. And so, of course, your projections, you got to reproject a little bit, revise your own projections on what that means.
Right.
To Aetna.
Right, because you know, we obviously rely a lot on what the government's projecting about enrollment changes and so forth. Just recently they brought down the projections on the number of enrollees. And you know, we're at a point now where in the first 2 years of the program, those that needed the coverage the most, lower hanging fruit as far as people that needed the benefits, have enrolled in the plan. And now it's the question of trying to attract, you know, other populations that haven't been in the plan as of yet. And a lot of those are the younger, healthier people who haven't seen as much of a need to join in the plan and trying to attract them into the participation in the exchange. And obviously, if you brought in more younger, healthier people, it brings down the overall cost for everybody, and it helps with the whole economic system we talked about previously. So that is a key aspect of the law, and as we go forward, the penalties associated with not participating continue to increase, and that might help. But it's still hard to bring in the young, healthy people into the exchanges.
So they'd rather pay the penalty, perhaps. But I guess we'll see as
right
time
now, yeah.
Yeah, as time goes on. Now, what's the future look like? I mean, you've done prior projections far out under certain assumptions. Let's say this goes untouched and the Affordable Care Act continues for a long, long time. It will stabilize eventually. Everyone will get the hang of it. Do you think this is, will this bring down the premium cost if it goes according to plan?
If we're successful at bringing in, you know, a larger portion of the population, including the young, healthy people, it has that opportunity to, you know, bring down the costs associated with the care, both, you know, for those on the exchange, and as I mentioned before, even for employers, as we get, you know, full coverage across the country.
Yeah, which that's the plan. It's a pretty massive plan, there's no doubt, and you know, hopefully it will work according to what they hope it would. Now, how do people sign up specifically? Well, let's go through that. I mean, of course, Aetna's probably on one of the exchanges, I assume, or they can go directly to you. How does that work for your company?
We are available on the public exchange, which is at healthcare.gov, on the Arizona market. Our focus in Arizona is in Maricopa County, specifically. So we are available through that, and we also have the ability to have members sign up to our direct enrollment site that we've developed.
And what site is that? Do you have a specific website for Aetna?
They can go on to our Aetna.com overall website, and then there's a link for coverage for individuals.
That's excellent. And, of course, I mean, we could probably talk for days on the Affordable Care Act, all the provisions from the business provisions, compliance to the tax implications, but that would literally take days, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yes, it would.
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm also a CPA, and I, you know, I've been studying up on this for years. Of course, it's been several years, and it sort of came in its stages, but it's, you know, it's complex. It's interesting. Hopefully it definitely works. And, but right now is certainly a time to sign up. And again, open enrollment was started, what, November 1st, and it closes when?
November 1st and through December 15th.
Yeah. So they only have that window. And, you know, that's critical. I mean, just for healthcare in general, I mean, everyone really should have insurance, whether you're healthy or not, because you just never know. Is that correct?
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. And I think it goes to what was discussed before about, you know, don't wait till you're at a bad stage in your health to access your health care. So I think having that coverage, and as we said before, about having preventive care covered can help maintain your health over time. In this market, we're offering brand new, 8 new plans in the Phoenix area, and they're consumer-oriented plans. We're actually rolling out specific consumer-oriented plans in only 4 markets in the country, and they're geared to be more just easier for members to understand. You know, we've done things like remove referrals. We've removed coinsurance, which is always confusing to individuals. So they either pay a copay or they pay a deductible for the service. And we've provided, you know, wellness incentives for people to take care of their health, and we'll provide incentives to them for that under the program. So, and we've also tried to make it a lot easier to understand our plans and to use our web tools and so forth. So we've really simplified the process for people so they can better understand their health care.
Wow, certainly sounds like Aetna is a leader in this field, and definitely, like we said, November 1st started open enrollment. You only have to December 15th, so get out there and get to one of the exchanges or go on the Aetna website and get that done. It's extremely important. There are penalty provisions if you don't. It's a very complex part of legislation, and we encourage everyone to check that out. And I'm sure on your website, Tom, that you probably have information on the Affordable Care Act, right? Not just signing up.
We have a whole website geared towards the overall healthcare reform. So with an extensive amount of information on it.
Now, do you give seminars and workshops for consumers as well as businesses?
We haven't done that at this point, no.
No, but the website must have good information.
The website provides that level of information.
Yeah, there's a lot of consultants out there. It's very specialized, like I said, but it's definitely something to understand and ask. They go to Aetna's website, and they can certainly get a lot of great information. Well, Tom, is there anything else that you'd like to say before we leave? Anything else that you'd like to communicate about the Affordable Care Act?
There is an option to it if you have a relationship with insurance brokers that they can help through the process as well. So we do use them as one of the channels to help inform members about their options. And so if you have a relationship with someone, they can help and assist in the process.
Which makes sense. I think that's probably a great idea because it is pretty complex. And Tom Grote, the Arizona Market President for Aetna, thank you so much. This has been enlightening. It's been a controversial law. But don't let that scare you. Get out there and sign up. I think everyone should have health care. They certainly have the right to do that. But we won't get into the political ramifications. It just is what it is right now. It is the law. And Tom,
I think one of the biggest things that he just pointed out, I'm sorry to interrupt, but one of the hugest things for me that he just pointed out is even if you looked into this last year, there's a lot of new specialized plans, especially if you're somebody who has a chronic disorder such as diabetes. I think that's phenomenal that you guys have decided to make a product for that group. But also, when you're talking about those young, healthy people who think, oh, I don't need health care, there are options there too. And it sounds like on your website and on the exchanges, they've tried to make it a little more clear and a little less confusing for those people who aren't involved on the business end and aren't familiar with this. It can be kind of a one-stop shop, just like you were going on Amazon to buy something. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's excellent.
So that's a huge change, and I think everybody should realize, even if you went to check it out last year and got confused or whatever, this is a new open enrollment time, and there's a lot of new things out there, and hopefully they've streamlined it, so check it out.
Yeah, no question. And Tom, thank you so much. We'd love to have you on again. And, as time goes on, we'll see what happens to the Affordable Care Act, whether it stays intact or modified or completely abolished. Who knows? But right now, it's open enrollment.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. Thank you. Tom Grote, Arizona Market President for Aetna. And Tricia, thank you. And we'll talk to you later as well.
All right. Thank you so much. Have
Thanks.
A good one.
Thank you. So, wow, a complex field, but important. There are penalty provisions if you don't go on. That's the interesting thing about this, and a lot of controversy about what they call Obamacare. And it's really called the Affordable Care Act. And Eric and Kathleen, should it be called Obamacare or what it should be called, Affordable Care Act? Is it sort of an insult to the president?
Well, they mean it in a derogatory way when they say it.
I think so, too. And but it'll be interesting. But some states have lowered their premiums. That's the good news. What's interesting, not to get this political, but usually the blue states had the state exchanges. And the red states said no, except for, I think, Ohio. But that went blue, I think, last time. But that's a mixed bag. But it's been successful in many of the blue states with premiums going down. So if you don't fight Obamacare and you go with it, it seems like it could work. But that's my political commentary for today. And I think everyone should have health care anyway. That's just my opinion. Eric, you agree?
whatever you say.
Oh, wow. Really? How about you, Greg?
You know what? They should. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If you have, like, auto insurance, you need to have it.
Yeah, that's right.
So why not with this? I know everyone, oh, no, but the penalties. Well, you know what? It really also depends on income. And that's the
thing.
And
there's exceptions for loans.
There are, yeah. The thing is, there's a lot in there. So, you know, a lot of research does need to be done. But, yeah, sometimes I think people will freak out, this and that. But it's like, well, no, sit down and look. It actually, this is helpful. It's not necessarily what you think. So,
you know. Politically, you'll see, certainly, if the Democrats win presidency, it's here to stay. If the Republicans win, depending who it is, it could be an attempt could be to get rid of it. The question is, what would they replace it with? You know, so that will be the most interesting thing. This is not an easy law to implement, but what will they replace it with? John Kasich from Ohio, if he got elected, I think, you know, it's worked there in Ohio, so I'm not sure there'd be major changes. I think he said it would be, but that might just be a political commentary since he's a Republican. Donald Trump wants to replace it with something better. We'll see what happens, and they all do. But it is important. Healthcare is a key issue in today's world, and we will see what happens.